Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
Our Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from Malachi chapter 3. Now here we come to Malachi, who gives a last reminder of hope to the people of Israel, as Malachi is the last book, the last prophet that will speak until John the Baptist is heard once more in the land of Israel. Here's what he writes. Behold, I send my messenger, and he'll prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they'll bring offerings and righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Excuse me. And our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. I invite the congregation to please rise as we join in the Alleluia and verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Albany, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for the sermon hymn.
Happy Advent, you brood of vipers. It's my favorite meme going around. I've seen it like 16 times. And we are in that season of John the Baptizer. We're also in the season of advertising. Well, advertising never goes out of season, but it seems to just get worse and worse and worse during this season. The advertisers are trying to get inside of your head, and they are relentless. Try as you might to get rid of them or ignore them, they keep coming back. They keep confronting you. They keep putting themselves in your mind so that you'll buy stuff from them. Yeah, they stuff our mailboxes, our email boxes. They fill our social media feeds, our eyes, our ears, and sometimes when you're physically present, our noses as well. So that when you shop, you'll think of them. Well, it is also, as I mentioned, that time of year for John the Baptizer. He keeps coming back to get into your mind as well. He keeps coming to fill your ears. He doesn't want you to buy anything, mind you. He wants you to repent. Because John knows that there is not only no better way to prepare for Jesus coming, there is really no other way at all. No other way at all to be prepared for Jesus coming. And so while we're in the throes of many preparations for Christmas, John comes to preach to you, to me, and to all the world, to get into our heads so that we don't just prepare for the holiday, but that we prepare for our Savior. And John will not be ignored. That's how it was when he first arrived on the scene as well. St. Luke told us today that after the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. An easy phrase to sort of skip over, but he went into all the region. He went into all the parts. He didn't want to miss anything. That whole region and the area around the Jordan. And I imagine he showed up at many places, many different times. He is the messenger of the Lord who has come to prepare the way of the Lord, as we heard from the prophet Malachi. And John took his job seriously. This is what he was born for. This is the very word that he has been waiting to proclaim ever since he leapt for joy in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. And if he were here today, he'd be doing the same thing. He'd be going all around the region of the headwaters of the Mississippi, proclaiming a repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John would be knocking on your door as you're putting up the Christmas tree. He'd be the one following you around the mall as you're buying your gifts. He'd be the one that would send the card that does not say peace on earth, but repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And John wouldn't stop until you dealt with him. You may not like him, but he will not let you ignore him. And his message is simply this: repent. Because if you don't want to repent, then you really don't want to celebrate Christmas. Now, that sounds like a pretty strong statement, but it's true nonetheless. Because if you don't want to repent, there is no reason to celebrate Christmas. No reason to celebrate the coming of a Savior. All the extra stuff the world's added to Christmas can only take you so far. And sadly, unfortunately, it's taken much of our culture away from what the season is truly about. And because of that, for many, what's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year turns into maybe the loneliest time of the year, or the saddest time of the year, or the most costly time of the year, or the most exhausting time of the year. And so it is into those wildernesses that John the Baptizer comes again, not as anti-Christmas, but to help us genuinely celebrate Christmas. John is not about the Christmas we want, but the Christmas we need. John is about real life, even a messy life, a difficult life, because Christmas is about real life, about your real and messy and difficult life, and especially about the full life that came and lay in a manger in the midst of a difficult and messy world. And so John the Baptizer is back today, still, to prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, that every valley be filled, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the crooked become straight, and the rough places a level ways. Think about those things for a moment. The prophecy of John's work. It's not geography that we're really talking about. It is the reality of our sin. You know, your sin, which keeps you digging in deeper and deeper so that your anger doubles down in a difficult situation and speaks up very inappropriately. Your sin, which is more than willing to make mountains out of molehills, and your pride, unwilling to bend like a mountain. Your sin, which twists and perverts the words, the motives, and the actions of others, assuming the worst. Your sin, which certainly seeks to serve the self while making others, the way of others, rough and difficult. That's the geography of your sin, your doing, and mine. But our Lord has come to undo all the sin we do, to fill in the valleys of sin that we dig, to fill them with his own flesh and blood. He's come to level the mountains of sin that we erect, to smash them down with his law. He has come to straighten all that we pervert and twist with straight talk and the truth of his word. He's come to smooth what we have made rough, and to do that through his love and his forgiveness. He has come to rescue us from our sin. So repent, John says. Repent Turn away from the sin that binds you up and turn to the one who does such wondrous things. Because John's message is twofold. He preaches repentance for sure, but even more, he points to the one who would do all of this. This filling, this leveling, this straightening. It's done so that all flesh may see the salvation of our God. So on the one hand, John points and says, repent. And with the other hand, he points to Christ and shows us our Savior. He reminds us of those words from Malachi that I, the Lord, do not change, therefore you are not consumed. That's what we deserve, to be consumed. But God and His promise do not change. Therefore, our God is made flesh for us. Our God is wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Our God who grew up in the household of Mary and Joseph in Nazareth. Our God who stood side by side with us sinners and was baptized as one of us. Our God who lived in our wilderness for a while. Our God who was tempted like us in every way. And so He knows the temptations you face. Our God who was ridiculed, made fun of, called demon-possessed of all things. Our God, who went to the cross for you, who suffers and dies for your sins and then rises from the dead for you. Look at that, John says. Because the Lord does not change, therefore, Christ. Because the Lord does not change, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Because Jesus did not come to provide us with a holiday, but rather with a holy day, an eternal day at that, a day that will not end. Not so that our days are necessarily merry and bright, but so that our days are holy and right. That is, John taught those who came to him and asked, what then shall we do? The answer will be to live a new life, a resurrection life. Live a life of faith, a life of forgiveness, a life of love and sacrifice. That we would live in Christ, the callings that God has graciously given to us. And in those callings, living by faith and giving the very love and forgiveness our Savior has so graciously given to us. And so again today, John, he comes. He knocks on your head and on your heart. That's his job. He wants you to celebrate Christmas with a view toward the end. So he is pointing you to Christ, the one who was once held in his mother's hands and arms is the one who now holds you in his arms and in his nail-pierced hands. The one who once had to be washed and fed by his mother, who now washes you in the baptismal font and feeds you at his altar. The one who grew and learned to speak like us now speaks his word of truth. And when that happens, it's Christmas. Not one day, but every day. The Word made flesh coming to you that you might receive His gifts of salvation, of forgiveness, and of life. And that you receive those gifts, that's what John the Baptizer is all about. That's why he comes. Yes, his message is pretty harsh and strong, and yes, he's quite a bit of an eccentric. And yes, none of us really likes to be told that we are sinners and need to repent, and we'd like to ignore John and jump right to the joy of Christmas. But if the world teaches us anything, it's that jumping right to the joy of Christmas is jumping to a joy that simply doesn't last. And so John comes to help you out, to show you a better way and a better joy, a lasting way, an eternal joy. So, don't change the channel. Don't slam the door. Don't ignore his call. But listen to him. Buy your presents. Put up your tree. Enjoy the music. Spend time with family and friends. But also, listen. Listen as John's voice continues to be the voice crying in the wilderness, the voice calling us to repentance and faith each and every day until that voice is no longer needed, until that time when our God, who first came as a child in flesh and blood in a manger, will return in that very same flesh and blood on the clouds of glory at the end of time. Amen. And the peace of God established in Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection be the peace that keeps you this time and every day and every season. Amen. Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.